Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for today. Thank you just for this refreshing, cool weather, Lord. Father, we just ask your presence today, this evening. Father, we invite your spirit here, Lord, to teach us, to guide us. Lord, we know that through your word, you want to change us. There's stuff that you want to show us individually, Lord, where we're at in our lives currently. So, Father, I just pray that through this word, that we wouldn't walk out the same way, that we wouldn't walk out bitter, that we'd walk out joyful and knowing that we have eternity with you. Lord, just thank you again for these students. Father, I just pray for just favor for this week for them, that, Lord, that their quiet time with you is just so moving, that it's convicting, that it just changes them. It's in your holy son's name we pray. Amen. All right. Verse 1, and it says in chapter 5, verse 1, "And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals." So John saw God basically sitting on this throne, and he saw in his hand a scroll. Now, how many of you have ever seen a scroll? Like, you've heard of Dead Sea Scrolls, right? You've seen these things? And if you think about it, when you wrote on the papyrus, when you wrote on the scroll, when scrolls are written, were they written on both sides? No. Why is that? One side was a little rougher, okay? And so, for instance, if you were bringing this book, the book of Revelation, in here tonight in the form of a scroll, do you have any idea how long that might be? Maybe you'd have to roll it out. From end to end, how long? Any guesses? About 15 feet. But yes, it would depend, but for most normal people, about 15 feet. Okay? And so you would be, you know, rolling up one end and opening up the other as we're moving through this book. And it's interesting because here in this chapter, chapters, you know, again, as we're looking at it, chapters 1 through 3 kind of set the stage for us. Chapter 4, as we saw last week, kind of the curtain rises. So we're kind of about to see some drama start, okay? And that's where we're at in chapter 5. And so it starts off with this scroll. And again, it's written on the front and on the back, where we also see seven seals. Now, you can kind of go back to, you know, and do some research into Jewish culture, Jewish history, and see that another document is very similar to this. In fact, it's identical. It's a legal document referring to land matters. So if you were to have a piece of land back in, you know, back in biblical times, you would notice that it was a document that could be sealed seven times. And it was a legal document. And so, and there's lots of various theories about what this is. And, you know, for me personally, when you kind of read through all the various views that the theologians hold, when you begin to look at this document and the fact that we do see seven seals, because, again, when you give a title deed, when you're given a title deed for a piece of property, and you're no longer to, if you can't pay for that property, if you can't, if you basically foreclose on it, the bank takes it back and they would put seven seals on there, basically what you owe. And here in this case, we're going to see that this is a title deed of the earth. And so the question comes to mind is like, well, if that's a title deed of the earth and it's in bankruptcy, what happened? What do you guys think happened? How did it get lost? What is that? Okay, Adam and Eve, we'll start there. Adam was, you know, and again, this is a view, and this is minor stuff, minor doctrine. But when Adam was given this earth, he was given the title deed of the planet. Now, when he fell into sin, that title deed then goes to who? Who has it? What happened with Adam? What happened to Adam and Eve? They sinned, right? So when they sinned, they essentially gave everything over to who? Satan, right? Satan, okay. The bad guy, the devil. And so the question is, we got to think about this, is that this, it's a representation again of a title deed of planet Earth, of our planet. Adam, who was the best man had to offer, fell. It goes into Satan's hands. And you can go into scripture again, Matthew chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. And it says, Jesus was taken up to the high mountain and he was tempted, right? He was tempted by Satan. Satan offered Jesus the world. Now, let me ask you a question. If we were all in here, and if I could just take us all in a big bucket, and we were sitting up on the highest building in Charlotte, which is what building? Bank of America. Okay, Bank. I didn't know. Thank you. Bank of America. And we went up there and I said, hey, everybody, I just want your attention. Everybody look out as far as you can see. I own everything. What would you say? You would say liar, right? You would say you're wrong. You don't own that land. But if I say out there, we're sitting on top of the Bank of America building and I'm saying that is all mine to give away. You'd be like, something happened. You fell down and hit your head on the way over here because that doesn't make sense. You would know right off the bat that it's not mine to give away. And so when you look at Matthew chapter 4 again, when we look at how, again, Satan brings Jesus up and demands to be worshipped, we can look and see that, you know, Satan pretty much has dominion over this world. And in fact, Paul refers to Satan as the god of this world in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Jesus refers to him as the prince of this world in John 12. And so God gave man the planet. Man, through sin, turned it over to Satan. Therefore, we see the deed with seven seals on it. It is in foreclosure. It is bankrupt. Man doesn't own it anymore. It's not ours. Okay, so we got to think of it like that. Now, verses 2 through 4, it says, then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? Verse 3, it says, and no one in heaven or on earth or under the sea was able to open the scroll or to look at it. Verse 4, so I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or look at it. So if we're pessimistic, we'd almost like just close this book right there and be like, okay, game over. No one can open it. Like we can't go forward. Like we built up this big, huge moment and now we can't go forward with it. But we have to note that the angel says, who is worthy, not who is willing. And you know, several people, you guys familiar with cults? Any cults? Any of your friends in cults? Are you in a cult? Maybe? Okay. Indian land cult. So there are several people that claim, well, I'm Jesus. And they claim all this weird stuff. But there's no creature. No creature is worthy to open it. And so the strong angel here, and I submit this to you, this strong angel can look and see eternity past, present, and future, and they find no one. No one is worthy to open it. So we're at a stalemate. We're stagnant here. Tears begin to flow. Why? Because it appears the earth will be forever in the hands of Satan. And that word, again, if you go back to that wept much, or actually the Greek word there is that they use this wept much, meaning that there's this profuse crying going on. And so there's no answer to the strong angel's challenge of who can open this up in this verse. So if no creature is able to open it, who does that leave? The created. I mean, you have to think now created. Okay, it appears that no one is able to open it. No one's able to open it, read it, or look at it. So someone above the order of the created must determine the course of history. Only God can unfold this plan. Okay, verse 5, it says, but one of the elders said to me, talking to John, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and loose its seals, its seven seals. So what lineage was Jesus born in? Anybody know? David. Now, did Jesus, was he born after David or before? It's a trick question. Guys, this summer, was Jesus born before or after David? Okay, that's a good point. Think of when people ask you questions about Jesus, you always have to ask him back, are you talking about Jesus in his humanity or his divinity? In his divine nature? Because he has both, right? He's God and man. So we can look at this verse again and note that Jesus, again, is born before. It says, do not we behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open this scroll and loose its seven seals. If someone is a root, that means it's the beginning point, right? So is it possible that Jesus could be in eternity past before David even existed? Absolutely. So we got to keep that in mind. And so at this point, you're thinking like, okay, I hear the word lion, Judah. You're thinking Narnia probably right now, right? And so at this point, John probably is turning around. He's expecting to see what? What animal? A lion. But behold, let's take a look at verse 6. What does he see? It says, and I looked and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the altar stood a what? A lamb. Is that a lion? No. A lamb as what? Though it had been slain. having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. So the created, there was no living creature that was created that was able to come and grab this scroll, read it, do anything with it. But behold, the Lamb is able to. And so John turns around. He's thinking he's going to see the Lion of Judah. But in fact, he sees what? This is the first time he turns around and sees, has an encounter with what we believe is Jesus. And how does he see Jesus? As a slain lamb. And the Greek word there, Arnion, means little lamb. So we're not talking like some big ferocious lamb with fangs or whatever. I mean, this is a lamb, little lamb, as though it had been slain. So it's not probably all white and pretty and peaceful looking. So it's kind of interesting, you know, imagery that John is portraying to us. And so when you look at this, and we start thinking about, you know, what the, you know, the fact that the lamb is slain. Why was the lamb slain? For what reason? What reason? Why did Jesus die? Okay, for our what? Okay, so why do those stripes, why is that lamb possibly disfigured and appear as though it had been slain? It represents what? Our sin. So I submit to you, not, you know, this is again just my opinion, but when we turn around and we're, the first thing we see is, and John sees, is Jesus here slain, the lamb slain. First thing he sees is like, wow, look at the magnitude of my sin. And so I wonder if that's going to be us. If, you know, when we get up there and we're going to see the lamb as though he had been slain, we're going to think, wow, look what all, you know, God did for me. The very first thing that comes to our mind. And I think so many times, if you think back through your week, I think a lot of you have probably sat around and like, oh, you know, I lost a privilege, or I didn't get the cell phone I wanted, unless you're Adam and you got a new one tonight. And you start thinking like, you know, oh, woe's me. You know, but if someone were to take away your car, how would you feel if you had a car, for those of you who are driving? Would you be upset? How would you feel like, oh, I'm sorry, we're going to take away your car, you made an A- on your exam? What if someone said, hey, you know, we're sorry, we're gonna take away your shoes because you tracked mud in the house, and that's the only way we, mom and dad, can get you to wear shoes or keep them clean. You'd be like, okay, well, I can't go to school without shoes. It would cause problems for you. What if someone said, we're going to take away your prayer time? I mean, some of us are like, wow, that would be terrible. And the others of us would be like, well, that doesn't impact me too much. That doesn't hurt me so much. You see, because I, you know, if I'm going to be honest, I don't pray a whole lot other than like the 10 minutes I may be in the shower. And if I think about God, other than my day. And so when we start thinking about application from this book, again, when John's in heaven, he's around all this worship going on up there, and he turns around and he starts noting things. And through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we see what he sees through these vivid words that he's trying to describe, this picture. And he sees the Lamb. Do we see Jesus in our life? Do we take time out each day to see the slain Lamb, the fact that Jesus died for each and every one of us? Or are we so consumed with the other things in our life? Are they more important, like the woes me? Oh, I don't have this. I need this. Or I'm more worried about, you know, what's going to happen next semester at prom. I'm more worried about this, that, and the other. And Jesus is like the last thought. And here I want to just kind of point this out, is that Jesus is the first thought. And God, the worship, is the agenda for heaven for us. If you can't dig worship, if you can't be alone with God, if you can't, and if I can't enjoy that time with the Lord, then there's a disconnect there. There's something in this world that we're putting first before the Lord. And so here I just want to note that the seven horns, and again, we talked about this earlier, but the number seven is what? Number of perfection, right? And so seven horns speaks of the power, perfect power. Seven eyes, as we talked about last week, what? Kind of all sign, good, perfect insight. Seven spirits speaks of the fullness of God. And so the Lamb here in this case has come and has taken the scroll. He can take the scroll. So Jesus is able to do that. Verses 8 through 10, it says, Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders, and who are they again? You guys remember? 24 elders? Who we think they are? Okay. Old Testament, New Testament. The 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp. I want you to underline that. This is very important. And golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Now, I like music. Any of you guys like music? Like, do you think, when you think of heaven, you're thinking like it's going to be like just music happening up there? Yeah. And when you think of heaven, like we've seen here 24 elders, we've seen creatures, right? We know man is redeemed, man is going to be there, but what else is going to be in heaven? What? Okay. Yes, creatures. What else is going to be there? Which is an indication of what other creature? A cat. Absolutely. Okay, yeah. Let me reiterate for those that may not know this. I'm speculating here. But you see, in order to have a stringed instrument in the old days, what did you use to string that instrument? Cat gut. Absolutely. So if you have harps, how are you going to play it? Got to have cats. Okay. Something to chew on for your own quiet time. I don't think there are going to be cats in heaven. I'm sure God has a different plan. Some sort of way to produce strings for instruments. But so we see the four living creatures and the 24 elders, they fell before the Lamb. So they're worshiping who? Jesus. When the Lamb takes the scroll, the response, do they say they worship him like 6 weeks later? It's immediate. It happens right then and there. High-ranking angels and redeemed man join also in the worship of the Lamb, each having a harp, so that we know that music, there's probably going to be some sort of music there. Right here, and also the other thing here is that the golden bowls full of incense. What do you think that represents? Prayers, that's right. That's absolutely right. When you think about, you know, the prayers that you and I say, our time with God, and we're prayerfully communicating with our Father, receiving instructions and just praying through His will for our life, that is just in His presence. And it's a beautiful indication, because if you were to walk in this room and we were making chocolate chip cookies, the smell would be everywhere, right? It'd be like, wow, it smells good in here. I mean, it's almost that incense, and that it's pleasing to the Father when you and I communicate. And it indicates here that our prayers, I mean, they're incense in heaven. So the prayers of the saints, our prayers are precious. And so and it also talks about us, and we sang a new song. So who's singing? Let me ask you this. It's kind of a trick question. Who's singing this? Let's read the actual song. It says, "You are worthy," starting in verse 9. And they sang a new song. So here's the song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood." Who is singing this song? Is it the angels? Humanity. Redeemed humanity. It also indicates here that only the church can say, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Okay? We'll get your question afterwards, if that's okay. So only the church can say this. And this is how we know that the church is in heaven. The church has been raptured. All those who are believers in Christ Jesus are no longer on planet Earth. They've been raptured because they are singing this new song, this song to Jesus. And so the song can be broken up in a couple of different ways. It talks about the price. The price is what? Redemption. For redemption, the Lamb was slain. It talks about, you know, the worker of redemption. It has, you know, having redeemed us. The destination of redemption, having redeemed us to God. The payment of that redemption by the blood of the Lamb. Again, you can pull all this out of that song. The result of this redemption the very last line, it says, have made us kings and priests to our own God, and we shall reign on earth. So how are we kings and priests? How is that possible? Anyone have any theories? Are we born again? Born again to who? Jesus. So there's that king, so to speak, priest, because if you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, do you need a mediator? Do you need somebody in between? I mean, can you talk directly to Jesus, or do you need someone there? Do you have to go to someone else? You don't. Okay, so when you look at that kings and priests, more of what it's referring to. Verses 11 and 12, when it says, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That's pretty much Greek for a lot. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And so you have the church singing their song, which inspires the angels now to sing in response their song. It's kind of interesting. See, true worship on earth sometimes happens when we get emotionally charged, right? You've all been there. Maybe you've been to a conference. Maybe you've been to church sometimes like, wow, that song's just hitting me. 5 minutes later, you're still having just thoughts that aren't that great. And worship was nothing more than an emotional response. True worship comes from your entire being, who you are, who you and I are, from everything that we are. It's our response. It's all that we have. It's all that we can give to God. It doesn't happen when we're emotionally charged or kind of charismatically encouraged. You know, a pet peeve of mine, and this is just personal, is when you go to, you know, a conference, or if you go to a place in their worship and you're told what to do. Put your hand up. And you're like, which one? You didn't say left or right. Simon didn't say. And so for me, it's like, you know, I don't want to be told. And so our response is going to be complete submission on our hands, on our knees, worshiping God. And I think for so many of us, we have these barriers. Well, it's got to be this song because you see, I only like this type of music. Or it has to be my favorite song. Or they have to do this type of song first. Or you got to do two fast songs and then two slow songs. We put all these stipulations on worship. Here, the indication is that the church, the redeemed, we start singing. And as a result, the angels join in. We're going to see in a second, all the other creatures join in. And so we have like this big worship party going on. This whole thing just happening in response because we see who is worthy. We see that there is a hope and a future for the earth. There's a hope and a future for what we, you know, our planet that we're on. And that's through Christ Jesus. And so when we get to heaven and see this slain lamb, our reaction will also be immediate. We're going to worship. It will be something that we just basically can't help to do. And so I contrast that to my own life. It's like, you know, I don't know if I feel like that all the time. I'm driving down the road, and inevitably, if you're on any of these roads, the posted speed limit might be 45, but no one drives that fast, right? They drive like 32. And you're like, what's going on? I don't know what's happening. They drive slow. People drive slow around here. Yeah. And so you have all this slow driving going on. And for me, I'm not like, praise Jesus. I'm like, get out of my way. I got to be somewhere. I got to go. In heaven, it's not get out of my way. It's, dude, I just walked into the presence of God. I see the slain lamb. I'm just going to worship where I'm at. You're not thinking about which, am I going to have wings? And, you know, what kind of shoes am I going to have? I'm going to see Uncle so-and-so. No, you're thinking about worshiping God. That is the agenda. That is the agenda for heaven. So, the angels in verse 12, it says they do not offer praise for redemption. So the best that we know, the angels are not redeemed, but they are simply observers of what God has done through man. And because they saw this, because they have seen this and saw what God can do and has done, they worship and they join in this as well. And so I think for us, how many times have you actually rejoiced maybe over a family member or a friend coming to know the Lord? Any of us ever done that? That's almost like our response. We see God working in someone else's life. That's almost the way the angels are like, dude, that is so awesome what God has done in their life. Praise God. It's almost that same kind of sideways sort of response, so to speak. And so the angels and the elders are encouraging each other more and more to praise God. Verses 13 and 14, it says, "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as these are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and the Lamb forever and ever." Verse 14, "Then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever." Let me ask you a question. When you see the term every creature, what does that mean? Are there any that are excluded? No? What do you think? When your parents, let's say your mom or dad, they plate you up some macaroni and cheese. Any mac and cheese fans in here? Okay, when they put like scoop or two or three or four, however much you eat, I don't know. When they put that on your plate, is the indication and the understanding that they're giving it all to you? No? I think the answer is yes. What they put on your plate is really for you. They don't want to share your food, typically. You might want to share your food. But the indication is that they want to give it all to you. And so when you see that forever, every creature means everything. Everything here is saying everything under the earth, in the sea, everything, everywhere is saying this blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Verse 14 again. "Then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever." So they take a pause and they're like, okay, we're going to let this group praise. And then they kind of start this whole thing over again. And so the indication again is that worship is indefinite. If you can't connect, if you're afraid of worship, I'm not talking about just music, but if you're afraid of just lavishing time and praises upon God, then my friend, you're going to have an issue with heaven, because that's what it appears heaven is for you and I, for believers, the redeemed. If Jesus and God were not the same, then this would be some sort of idolatry. And that's where some cults, again, if you look at Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, and some of the other various ones, they'll say, well, Jesus and God are not the same. But if they're not, then when you take a look at a verse like this, and there's some sort of idolatry going on here, because Jesus is deity. We see accounts of his humanity in Scripture, but we also know that he has a divine nature about him. He's part of that Trinity. He has always existed. He wasn't just created. And so that's, again, something we have to reconcile and always remember. And because the slain lamb has taken control of the scroll, the title deed of the earth here, worship abound. There is hope for John. John is no longer like, oh, I'm just, you know, beat down because there's no way this is going to happen. The earth is lost forever. As I talked about weeping earlier, now he sees hope. Who's that hope hinge upon? Christ. Christ Jesus. He sees the hope. Everything focuses and turns right back to Jesus. For God, this is all, you know, kind of one, it's not broken up into past, present, and future. I mean, God sees all this happening at one time. And for us to catch a glimpse of this, there's a term that's used, and some of you have heard me say it before. Have you ever heard proleptic statement? You guys ever heard that? I'm almost certain I used it. But a proleptic statement is saying something as if it already happened. Okay? For you seniors in here, a good proleptic statement might be, you've graduated high school. It hasn't happened yet, but it's as if it's already happened. Okay? Adam, I know, is really concerned. Might not make it. But that's a proleptic statement. And so when we see this, and we see what John is seeing, we have to know that this has happened. It's there. It's a done deal. But for us humans who are bound by time, we are what? Finite creatures. We're not infinite like God. We're finite creatures. So we're bound by time. This, what John is seeing, has happened. But as to us, it hasn't happened yet, because again, we're in the scope of time. And so my question for you all is this. You know, what could be the worst thing that your parents could take away from you? Xbox? antlers, moose antlers, your feather, your Fritos that you wouldn't share earlier. What could be the worst thing? What are some other things that you're, that someone could take away from you and you would like want to punch them? Your phone? Breathe. I thought that was a different word. I'm sorry. I was like, what? Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Anyway. All right. Yes. What can someone take away? Freedom of speech. So now you're swinging your arms and yeah, absolutely. Freedom of speech. Your Doritos, right? Yes. Amy. Sing and play music. Okay. So, you know, we can get up in arms over all the things that someone could take away from us. Now that we've gotten a glimpse, because next week's a communion service, by the way. I invite you all back. It's going to be an awesome time. Then the week after that, my friends, we ramp up into some craziness, okay? Chapter 6. We get into the seals. But before we get there, and read ahead, if you can, which you should, we think about all the things that someone could take away from us. I'm thinking, like, you could take my car away. That'd be pretty bad because I'd have to walk everywhere. You could take my kids away. You could take my family away. But where does God? I mean, what about if someone took our ability to hang with God? I mean, do we have time allotted for that? Like someone can say, you can't eat anymore. I'm going to put you in a dungeon and never feed you. And we'd be upset about that. Well, I'll get hungry. What about God? What if someone were to take away your time with the Lord, and looking really at chapters 4 and 5 and seeing the immense amount of worship going on, that's an important thing. I mean, we've got to desire God more than anything else on this planet, more than our Xbox, more than our freedom of speech. And, you know, those are all important, more than our breathing and other things of that nature. Do we desire God? You know, do we desire God to that level? So, this is your homework. We've got some time. We've got some time. I'm not talking about the spice. I'm talking about actual time. So, we're going to actually go into groups. Sorry, leaders, I didn't give you the heads up on this. We're going to go into our groups. And I want you to be honest, real, you know, for 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes. And then you can come back out here and stare at each other awkwardly. But I want you to tackle the question, what do you need to give up? Like maybe it's a statement like, man, this week I need to worship this less and God more. What is that blank for you? What is it that you need to, you know, be so attached to? What are you so attached to that it's consuming your time? You know, that you could be really worshiping God. Because again, chapters 4 and 5, man, it's clear. We're going to be worshiping God. And man, there's no better thing to do than to practice here on earth. Wouldn't you want to practice if you knew you were going to do something? If Brianna had an exam tomorrow morning in Latin or whatever, 12 classes, you have a Latin, okay. Would you not prepare? Would you not start knowing that was coming? Would you not prepare for that? Yes, the answer is yes, you would prepare for that. Would you not? Never? No, but you would prepare, right? And so I just want to know, and I want you guys to spend some time in your groups to talk that through. What is it that you need prayer about? Because, you know, we can pray with each other tonight. And I know for some of you that's going to be difficult. Like, I don't want to do that. I'm like to myself. Well, that's not what the plan in heaven is. We're all worshiping. We're all doing the same thing. So let's all get on the same page. Get to know each other, share that one thing that we need to give up this week, and let God kind of take that place. And then step by step, get better and better. Let's close in prayer. And then guys, we'll go to these two rooms, the back, and the girls can hang out here because they're loud. All right. Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord, for just this time. Father, just thank you for this encouraging word, because just as it seems that sometimes, even our own life, that all hope is lost, Lord, we can turn around. And just as John saw you as the slain lamb, Father, I know so many of us have come to know you for our, you know, as our Savior because of the cross that you bore. the stripes that were on your back, Lord, the sin that was reflected in the pain that you had to go through. So, Father, I just pray that tonight, just in the next 15, 20 minutes in our small groups, Lord, we would just recall, just maybe even reflect on our own lives, the work that you have done, the work that you're continuing to do. And, Lord, I just pray that you would reveal to us the things that we need to give up, Lord, that we need to spend less time worshiping because, Lord, we see so clearly in your word what the agenda for heaven is. We see so clearly that we're all to worship you, that you are worthy. You are worthy, Lord, of taking back the scroll, of opening it. You are worthy of all of our praise. Lord, just be with these students this week, Lord, through the challenges of school, through work, through home, through all the drama that's in their life, Lord. Draw them closer to you through your words. In your Holy Son's name we pray. Amen.